This Advent season is a time of us anticipating the birth of Christ. And I thought that's good that we should do that. You know, we get 4 weeks to do that. When children are being born, it's generally speaking 9 months of anticipation. I'm kind of thankful it was just 4 weeks for us to anticipate the birth of Jesus Christ. But love is that multifaceted word. What does love mean? It means so many different things. And with us, when we talk about love, when I'm talking about love today, we're going to be talking about the love of Jesus Christ for humanity. You see, He went to the cross. We're talking about the love of Christians for Christ. What do we do in submission and obedience to Christ and for Christ? And then the love of Christians for others. I started to write down other Christians. I crossed that out and said, no, it's our love for others. You see, they don't have to be Christians for us to love them. Well, let's get started right today. Amen. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. It's the Sunday before Christmas. We're going to try that again. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. All right. We're excited about the anticipation of the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I love that. Our Advent reading, John 3:16 this morning. By the way, we'll be primarily in the book of John. And then I say that, and then we'll be in 1 John as well. And then we'll dabble in Matthew for just a minute. And then we'll be in Luke. So, I don't know. We'll be a few different places. But turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 13 right now. And as you're turning there, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then right before that it says, whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then it says, for God so loved the world. I should change my sermon title to whoever, but I won't. But we're going to be talking about whoever today. We're going to start with whoever and we're going to end with whoever today. The ultimate love is for whoever. You see, He doesn't say, oh, by the way, those 27 that believe in Him should not perish. It says whoever believes in Him. It doesn't say only people that come from this background, this nationality, this upbringing, this home, this financial situation, this educational status, only those people, if they believe. It says, whoever. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to be whoever. And counted whoever. Boy, I love hearing those kids' voices. I love that. John chapter 13, remember, we're coming back to whoever. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. And we read this a few weeks ago as well. And it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Great, how do we do that? As I have loved you, that you also love one another. Verse 35 says, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Whew! We got three things we're looking at today. The love of Jesus Christ for humanity, the love of Christians for Christ, and the love of Christians for one another. This scripture, let me flip over real quick to Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 and 39, or through 39. And it says this, if I can get on the right page here. It says, but when the Pharisees heard that He had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and then one of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question, testing Him and saying, teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And this one goes into a little more detail than what we just read. And it says, Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. By the way, church, there's some things we have to replace up in this mind that we got running through it that we've got to get out and make way for the love of Christ to fill that space. We rent space to whatever's important to us or our hang-ups or our dark things. And sometimes we have to remove those from our mind and our thought process. And it says, this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. Well, those two scriptures, they kind of cover what we looked at. The love of Christ for us, because he tells us, and then the love of us for Christ, and the love of us for others. It says, hey, I'm giving you this new commandment. Love one another. Oh, great. That's our love for one another. As I have loved you. That shows his love for us. Now, how do we show our love for him? By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. We show him our love by being his disciple. And it says we are his disciples. We show others that by us loving others. Man, I'm thankful for the opportunity to love others. I told Cindy the other day, I'm working on my patience again. Again. She said, how's it going? I said, depends on what time of day you ask me. Am I driving? What did I encounter? So as we were driving down I-40 the other day, I said, oh, Lord, eastbound is down to one lane. It's backed up past the curve. Whew, I'm not going that way. I said, but luckily I'm going the other way. I was driving home. She said, I came down 10th Street. I said, honey, I'm going down I-40 eastbound because I'm going to allow God to test my patience and I'm going to see how I do. And I purposefully went that way to say, let's check my patience and see how I'm doing. Praise God, traffic was flowing well. I was doing great. You see, I think I was doing well, but it was based on the circumstances. The circumstances were better than they were a couple hours earlier. I was all proud of myself, but I said, really, it was based on circumstances. I just got lucky that the traffic wasn't backed up. That verse covers the different types of love that we have. We have opportunity to show others love. How? You tell me. It's so many different ways. This example of loving us, us loving others, all that works together. Eric said a couple weeks ago when we were talking about peace, pray that we can be ambassadors of peace. Oh, I love that. Can we be ambassadors of love? Oh, dang it. We've already been hired. We are Christ ambassadors. I didn't even apply for the job. What do you mean I'm his ambassador? I can't get this off. I don't get that name tag off. You don't want to go there. You see, we are Christ ambassadors. Who's Christ ambassadors? Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Those are Christ's ambassadors. Christ's ambassadors, their education isn't that great. Their finances aren't that great. Their background, Lord, do you know their background? You want to make them an ambassador? They are. They are. Not do you want to make them. They've accepted Christ. They believe in him. They are. We are his ambassadors. Oh, man. Okay, I better watch what I do then. Yes. We are to be his likeness. We are to be the sweet aroma of Christ. I pray that we are ambassadors of hope for others. Ambassadors of peace. Ambassadors of joy. Regardless of our circumstances. and ambassadors of love, regardless of how others have treated us in the past. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. He says, I have loved you. I didn't say anything about others. I have loved you. You see, you were whoever. And when you believed, he said, you became my children. You have an inheritance now. We have qualified. Now we have obtained an inheritance. Remember a while back we talked about glorifying God. And how do we do this? And number one, glorifying God was to love others. And number two was to serve others. And number three was our unique gifting that He gave us, and sharing that with the world and doing that for others. We do not glorify God or show love for Christ when we live in the world and of the world. We have to separate ourselves. We are sanctified. We are set apart. We are different. We mentioned a few weeks ago in the Bible study that when we accept Christ, we are a new creation. But I said that new creation isn't always on the same level as that new creation. You see, we have different backgrounds. We have different upbringings. We have different things that feed into our mind. We cannot be in the world, church. John 16, let's flip over a few pages. Did I say 16? John 15. I don't know what I said, but John 15, verse 9 through 17. In my heading above that, my Bible says, love and joy perfected. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. This is Jesus speaking. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you. Eric read this last week as he was talking about joy. That my joy remain in you. When we keep His commandments, we get to keep His joy, regardless of circumstances. But it says, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus says, you are my friends. But he says, if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Kisha said, let's be different in 2023. Let's bear fruit. And let's let others see it. Not to glorify ourselves, but to glorify our Father through our fruit. You said, let's let our light shine. Where my wife drifted off to, but she was back there with Atlas holding that light, just waving it around. We've got to let others see the light in us, the aroma of Christ, being Christ ambassadors. said, I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. And then verse 17, he says, these things I command you, that you love one another. Further reminding us of the importance of love in our Christian faith, in our Christian walk. Love can't be just a feel-good word to be tossed around by well-meaning, well-intentioned Christians. I love you. I love you like the Lord. I love the Lord. It can't just be tossed around like that. It has to be a way of life. Loving others is a way of life for Christians. It takes work. It takes work sometimes. Oh, did you see those people I ran into? When people call you names and do things, it takes work to say, I love you. But for Christians, this is the way of life. Now, we may not have mastered it yet. We may not have mastered the ability to show others hope or to find hope in our own situation. We may not have mastered being a peacemaker. Blessed be the peacemaker. My circumstances rob me of my joy. So we may not have mastered these and then to love one another. But they are a part of the life of a Christian. And a growing Christian takes these things and said, I'm struggling here. Woo, I'm struggling with that patience, Lord. I think I'll go down I-40 through the construction zone at 5:10 at night. Other times it's like a breeze, just like the other day. Our circumstances were right. Traffic was flowing by the time we went through it. That may be where some of us are at. I have a great amount of hope and peace and joy and love. Why? Because circumstances have been great. Oh no. I woke up this morning and circumstances took my hope. Something happened out of the blue and my peace is gone. And in that, Lord, I can't even find joy. Now you want me to love you? You want me to love others? We had for so many years. Well, that was because things were going my way. But then adversity happened. I'm not flipping these over. I want to leave us a visual of things that we can hope for. You see, we've got to get in here and say, when this comes, and it's going to come because he said, you will have trials and tribulation. He said, I came, and when I left you my peace. That when you have that, you have peace in life. Oh, no, I gave you a different peace. Not the peace that the rest of the world has for you. Just like rest. I can get rest by going to sleep. But when I go to sleep in the Lord's presence, I have rest, because that rest comes with a certain amount of peace and hope and joy. Oh, by the way, I don't just have joy like you have it. I have joy to the full. Oh, and by the way, when he gave it to me, he said, I want it to remain, that my joy may remain in you. I give you peace, not as the world gives you. We have to prepare. We have to rejoice. We had an evening of prayer up here the other night. And it was amazing. Why? Because I was here praising God. I was giving him thanks. A lot of times we come before him with this long list of prayers. God, I need you to do this in my life. I said, God, man, I'm giving you thanks. I'm giving you praise and thanksgiving for all you have done, all you have provided. Wendell. I give God glory for Wendell being here today. Why? Because he is Atlas's and Aurora's great-grandfather. What I would give for my father to be here. But he can't be. I give thanks for that man. I texted Austin the other night. Told him how much I love him. Told him some things I was proud of him for. He said, thanks for being a good dad. He said, you're always here for me and you supported me. That's not to toot my own horn, I'm saying, because I had a father that loved me. And I said, and I want to be that for you, and I want you to be that for your children. Why do we have that? Because we have a father up there that loves us so much. He loves us. How much does he love us? As David read, he gave his only begotten son. Kisha said earlier today, yet while we were still sinners. Man, that's a lot of love. It's a way of life, church. We've got to get to a different way of life that says, I exhibit these things. The fruit of the Spirit is evident in my life. I'm saying that's where we need to get to. I'm not saying I'm there. I want to clarify. As I told you, I'm still working on some of those. But if we're observant enough to say, I still have to work on some of those. Now let's flip over to 1 John chapter 4. Towards the end of the Bible, 1 John chapter 4, or a little further back from where we were. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 21. And again, my Bible has a heading that says, knowing God through love, seeing God through love, and then the consummation of love. And I love that. It says, beloved, let us love one another. For love, listen carefully, love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. It says before, it says, for love is of God, and now it says, love, or God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Makes sense to me, right? He loved us. Hey, do you think we can love Him back? No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, though, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and He in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Boy, there is a lot of abiding in there, isn't there? But it says, man, if we hang out with him, he's going to hang out with us. If we hang out in love, that'll show him. And then verse 17 says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Listen carefully. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. Church, do I need to read that one more time? Fear involves torment. Take the opportunity to let His love, His perfect love, cast out that fear from our lives. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. I'm thankful for that, because if we had to love Him first, He may be waiting a long time for some of us. But it says He loved us first. Again, how did He love us? Whoever. That's what shows us and tells us that He loves us. How do we show Him that love back? First of all, we believe. And then we love others so that they'll know and He'll be able to identify us as His disciples. Whoever believes in Him, we must also love our brother. Now, I believe it. Christmas time, the greatest gift that we have is being whoever. Yeah, the greatest gift is Jesus Christ. But the blessing we have is being the whoever. Turn to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verse 39 through 43. Adam, this is Christmas, not Easter. Well, we'll see about that. Jesus is now hanging on the cross. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed Him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and save us." Jesus on the middle cross, two thieves on each side, one thief on each side. But the other thief answered Him, rebuking Him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing. He's done nothing wrong, but we have got the punishment for our crime." Then He said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And the love of Christ was poured out. And He responded to that man, "Assuredly, without doubt, without question, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Well, who's He talking to? He's talking to whoever. Whoever up on that cross, to the side of Him. I can see that man making it up to heaven. You say, "What are you doing here? I saw you last week, man. You were cussing at people. You were stealing from them, beating them up. Oh, by the way, your life has been filled with crime. What are you doing here?" "I don't know." The angel looks at him and says, "You've never been baptized, right?" "Nope." "Ever been in a Bible study?" "A what?" "What church do you belong to?" "Church." "Well, what are you doing here?" I don't know." "So you've never been to church? Never been in a Bible study? Never been baptized? And yet here you say, hang on a minute. Let me get my boss." My boss comes up and they start right in. I'm pretty sure, young man, you're up here in heaven, so you're probably clear on the doctrine of justification by faith, right? The what? I never heard of it. Huh? Let's get right into the doctrine of Scripture. What? I don't know what you're talking about. On what basis are you here? The guy in the middle cross said I could be here. Oh, okay. So the guy on the middle cross said you could be here. Yeah. Did he know anything about you? Did he know about your background? Yeah. You're an older gentleman. You've been around a while. Does he know what your life's been filled with? Yeah. He knows where you've been all your life. Yeah. You're a young man. Does he know where you've been and what you've done? Well, yeah, I'm pretty good. Does he know about your parents? I don't know. On what basis are you really here? I'm telling you, the man on the middle cross said I could be here. He gave me permission. Yeah, I know what I did was wrong. And I know I got the right punishment for that. But all I did was simply believe in Him. And I remember looking at Him. And I just said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the last thing I remember Him saying was, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. That is love. That is the greatest gift we have, is His love for us. To take each and every one of us, whoever's, from wherever we've been and whatever we've done, and say, I'm going to wipe all that out. You believe in me. And you trust me. I'm going to love you. And by the way, when I left this earth, I left some peace for you. It's a little different than what you find out there in the world. Oh, and in me, you're going to find some hope. See, of your new home. I'm going to leave you some joy that you may have it to the full. But you see, I love you so much that I sent my Son, Jesus, to the cross. Yet while you were still sinners. Yeah, I could have saved him. But that's not the way the story needs to go. Man, Methuselah lived forever, Lord. You couldn't let Jesus last a while? The whoever's of the world. That's our greatest gift, is to be whoever. Because when we are whoever, Jesus Christ said, I will accept you. When you call on me, when you believe in me, and I'm going to make you a new creation. Oh, by the way, thief, you don't need to hide out in caves, holes in the ground that you're digging, always watching your back. You've got a brand new home up here. By the grace and mercy. By the grace and mercy, He gives us that new home. We have to learn to love people that get a new home. And quit being jealous and quit being upset about how they got it. How'd they get in? I saw him last week stealing from people. He was cussing out his friends. Now, truth be told, I love watching Alistair Begg, and that came from him, that little story at the end. But I love it. It was so powerful to me. And I thought, that Easter story, to think for a second that the resurrection story doesn't tie into the Easter story, it absolutely does. And the greatest gift we have in the birth of Jesus Christ is His love for us, for each and every one of us, whoever. Now my question as we close today is pretty simple. How can you show your love for Christ? It tells us by loving others. How do you show that love to others? And those are going to be things that you guys have to answer. How can I show love for others? We could go do a visit. We could send a card. We could make a phone call. We could send a text. We could simply say, I heard about your situation. I'm praying for you. We can say, I heard about your situation. Can I pray for you right now? Hey, I don't know what you're going through, but will you allow me to pray for you? I am so thankful today that I am a whoever. I thank God for being whoever. But more than that, I thank God that Jesus Christ said, whoever believes in me. I gave my only begotten Son so that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. That's why when I pray, God, meet us where we are, wherever that is. But God, You have a plan to take us further than that. When He saves us, that we become hope for others. That we become ambassadors of peace. And that we have joy. And reflect His joy. And that it's not only in us, but it's in us to the full. And then we glorify Him by loving others. And serving others. And using our gifts. Reflect on Him this Advent season. And I want you to focus on love. And some of you, man, I want you to come and just strap this on and love yourself. Because it tells us we've got to love others as we love ourselves. So you've got to have this all over you first. Children of God, and He loves us. Let's love ourselves. The areas that we need to improve, don't hate ourselves for that. Love that we know that, we see that. It says He came that we may have life. And He came to be a light to us. What does that mean? That means He's coming with His light to shine it in our dark places. Those are hard to face. That's growth when we do. And He gives us and others hope when we do that. Amen. And let's stand and let's worship Him. And let's think about how much we exalt Him.